and that connection in terms of Christian life together as assemblies, as local gatherings of believers. This point about being led by the Spirit, unfortunately, is often limited to that context. We often think about being led by the Spirit when we're meeting together. And it's very important, because the Spirit of God should be leading us when we're meeting together. But in fact, the Scriptures really use that phrase not when we're meeting together, but for normal Christian living. Two of the primary places where we have this thought about being sons of God and being led by the Spirit, or the Spirit given to us, is in Romans 8, as mentioned here, and also in Galatians 4 and in Galatians 5, where the Spirit of God we have the adoption, because we have the Spirit, they're connected, the adoption of sons and the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 5, that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Being led by the Spirit, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5 of Galatians. In places like 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, the Holy Spirit is very noticeably absent, except for the expression in 1 Corinthians 12 where it says that the spiritual gifts that we exercise when we're together are given by the Spirit. Now, by absent, I don't mean that he's not working. But what I mean is that it's expected that, of course, we're going to be led by the Spirit at that time, and we must be careful. We have to safeguard this thought that that's not the time when we suddenly go into spiritual mode, if I may say it that way. And now we're going to be led by the Spirit, and we walk out the doors, and we sort of rely on our own understanding. That's completely backwards from the way the Scripture puts it. The Scripture puts it that we must look to be led by the Spirit, desire to be led by the Spirit all the time. And when we walk in the doors of a building, when we're together as believers, that it will simply continue. And things are done with spiritual wisdom. That's what's emphasized in a number of those verses, like in 1 Corinthians 14, for example. So this is something for every moment of our lives. When we're in school, when we're at work, when we're shopping, when we're walking through the neighborhood, when we're talking to strangers, when we're talking to friends or relatives, it's always that we should be led by the Spirit. And it's too easy for us to put that in a compartment of Christianity and think that that's a special time of being led by the Spirit. The Scriptures never speak that way.
I would add, you mentioned Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us walk also by the Spirit." Mm-hmm. And that's a military term, means literally keeping in step. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to be out of step Christians. Mm-hmm. We want to keep in step like troops march.
Mm-hmm. I got a quick question. The time is going. I know. One quick question. It's a basic question. What's the difference between a child of God and a son? The difference between being a son and being a child. And maybe somebody can.
So, quick answer.
Somebody can help us.
So children always want to do what pleases themselves. So you have children and they look for, well, what are you going to do for me today? This is what I want. That's the characteristic of a child.
Gimme.
What's in it for me? The characteristic of a son is to do what pleases the father. What's in it for the father? What is what is it that my parent wants me to do? That's what I'm going to do, as opposed to, this is what I feel like doing, so this is what I'm going to do. So if mom says wash the dishes because it pleases her, that's what you do. If dad says clean your room, that's what you do. If the child says why, how come, that's the difference.